Good morning, church. Let's begin with prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your living and active and powerful word. Lord, as we hear your word, awaken in us a deeper hunger for you. Lord, reshape our hearts to have a firm relationship with Christ. Speak to us and have your way among us, Lord. In Jesus' name we offer this prayer. Amen. What if I ask you, how do you know that you are growing as a disciple of Jesus? What makes someone spiritually mature? What would be your answer? Most of us would point to visible markers such as church attendance or knowledge of scripture or ministry involvement. Now, if we were to create a checklist for mature discipleship, what would make the list? Faithfulness? Yes. Prayer? Certainly. Generosity, of course. Faith, yes. Making space for new believers, absolutely. But would fasting even cross our minds while making this checklist? If we are honest, for many believers, fasting is rarely a part of conversation. It is not that we are against fasting, it just doesn't feel very important to us. Why is that? What is the reason behind it? Because we live in a world of convenience, you know, where everything is instant. Food, entertainment, shopping, information, everything on our fingertips. And in today's culture, who has time to stop? Who wants to feel hungry or discomfort or longing? We are used to getting what we want and whenever we want it, very instantly. So the idea of voluntarily saying no to ourselves sometimes feels extreme. Now, I understand that for some of us, this may be different. Some people grew up amidst a time of scarcity, tight budgets, and not in abundance. And when you hear the word fasting, you may wonder, why would I choose scarcity again? I have already lived through scarcity. And this is a very honest question. But we need to remember that biblical fasting is not about relieving hardship. It is about renewing our dependence. So for you, fasting may not mean less food, but it means deeper surrender and renewing trust in the Lord who has carried you thus far. And it is in that space of stopping our hearts can be trained to long for God. When everything around us trains us to satisfy every craving immediately, fasting trains us to pause. When the culture around us says, go ahead and indulge, fasting says, wait. When the world around us says you deserve it, fasting says you depend on God. And that's why even small acts of patience, they matter. Like waiting to eat hot cross buns or holding off on chocolate eggs until Easter Sunday. This may seem like small things, but they train our hearts. They teach us patience. They remind us that not every desire must be satisfied immediately. But they remind us that we experience deeper joy when it comes through waiting. So fasting, whether big or small, it is not about deprivation. Rather, fasting is all about our formation. So the real question is not, should Christians fast? Rather, the real question is, what does our lack of fasting say about us? We often define discipleship in terms of what we do for God, what we achieve for God, the ministries we serve in, and the things that we have accomplished in His kingdom. But we need to remember that discipleship is not just about changing our behavior. Discipleship is about changing the heart as well. It is about who drives us, who controls us, and what we truly hunger for. So today, instead of asking the question, do you fast? I would rather like to ask us, what controls your appetites? What shapes your desires? And how hungry are you for the presence of Christ? In Luke chapter 5, we see, after encountering Jesus, Levi, the tax collector, who is also known as Matthew, he throws a big feast in his home. His friends are around the table, those friends whom the society generally considered as sinners. Then the religious leaders come and ask two questions to Jesus. Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And why do John's disciples fast often, whereas yours go on eating and drinking? Now, by asking this, they were saying, John's disciples are fasting, Pharisees are fasting, but Jesus, your disciples are feasting. If we think about the first century Judaism context, fasting had a deep meaning. It was always connected with repentance and mourning. Fasting was a way that people prepared themselves for the coming of the Messiah. But the issue behind fasting was not only about food, rather it was about identity. The Pharisees had turned fasting into a badge of spiritual superiority. They followed the rules rigidly and it became performative. They fasted, but they did not recognize that the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, is standing right in front of them. And at Levi's banquet, we see something radical happening here. Jesus was not simply just sharing a meal, but he was breaking down those social barriers and declaring that the kingdom of God has arrived now. When the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners, their reaction was not curiosity, but it was judgment. They failed to see that Levi's feast is not a spiritual compromise, rather it is a messianic celebration. The long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come. And his mission was not to despise the rejected and the broken, but to accept them, to call them, and to welcome them. It brings us to the bridegroom principle. Jesus responds the Pharisees' question with a metaphorical language. Jesus says, when the bridegroom is present, you celebrate, you feast, and when he is taken away, you long for him, you fast. If we notice carefully, Jesus here does not dismiss the practice of fasting. Rather, he redefines it. Jesus redefines fasting from being a ritual to being a relationship. And in that sense, fasting becomes a way to express our longing for God. The Pharisees' question was, why don't your disciples fast? But I want you to reflect on a deeper question. Do we even feel the absence of the bridegroom? When Christ feels distant in our lives, do we even notice? Do we feel a hunger for Christ? And then Jesus gives us another teaching, the illustration of new cloth and new wine. The Pharisees actually tried to fit Jesus into their old system of religious performance. Their fasting and rules give them control, security, and a sense of holiness. So for them, for the Pharisees, it was all about law and outward appearance. But Jesus redefines that. Not outward regulation, but Jesus says it is about inward transformation. Not about proving spirituality, but Jesus said it is more important to have and maintain a communion with God. And in this sense, friends, fasting in God's kingdom is not about impressing God, rather it is about responding to Him. It is about nurturing the hunger that the Spirit awakens within us. Now, we have talked a lot about what fasting meant in Jesus' day and how he reframed the fasting from ritual to relationship. But what about today? We know that our world looks very different today. We are surrounded by comfort, distraction, and instant gratification. And that is why fasting matters exactly more than above everything else. It helps us to pause in this world of constant noise. It helps us to train our hearts to long for God above everything else. Fasting helps us to create space. Space to refocus, space to realign ourselves, and space to see God more clearly in our lives. So what would that look like for us? What if during this Lent you fasted from TV and social media? Does it sound too difficult? What if for 40 days you decide to reach for scripture instead of reaching for your phone first? How about sitting in silence or prayer instead of scrolling during the night? What if this Lenten season, instead of consuming endless opinions, you choose to create space to hear the voice of Christ? Now, I'm not saying that TV and social media are bad, but they steal our attention. So, what would it look like to intentionally refocus that attention on God during this Lenten season? In case it feels too overwhelming for any of us, you can always start with a digital fast, maybe for a few days or few hours. resisting overconsumption. Maybe this season, stop buying what you really don't need. And each time you are saying no to unnecessary purchases, you are retraining your heart. You are reminding yourself that your deepest security and satisfaction do not come from the things of the world, rather it comes from God. How about fasting from inattention? It is very much easy to overlook God's blessing and chase what's coming up next. This Lenten season, can we choose to slow down and notice God's wonderful acts in our lives? How about keeping a gratitude journal and each day writing down something that you are thankful to God? Now, fasting can occur in different forms and in different degrees. You may also consider a light fast like skipping a snack or treat, sweets or desserts. Others can choose a moderate fast by avoiding certain types of foods, maybe meat. Some may choose an extended fast, where you abstain from food for a set period if your health permits. Now in all this, our goal is not to punish ourselves, but to retrain our hunger. So let fasting be a spiritual reminder for you. Just as your body feels physical hunger, let it draw your attention for a deeper hunger for God. And in this sense, fasting does more than creating space in our schedules. It trains our bodies. Our bodies are gifts from God and they are not meant to rule us. Fasting reminds us that we are stewards and not slaves to our appetites. Fasting is about training our hearts, practicing hunger for God, and also aligning our desires with God. Fasting is the rhythm of the kingdom, a rhythm of feasting when the bridegroom, when the Christ is near, and a rhythm of longing when Christ feels distant. It's a rhythm of everyday and deeper relationship of our life. As I close, I want you to ponder upon these questions. What can you fast from this week that would make space for God? What habit or craving keeps you distracted from Him? How hungry are you for the presence of Christ in your daily life? Friends, let us remember that fasting is not about rules, it's about relationship. It is the relationship with Jesus, the bridegroom. Jesus, the bridegroom, has come. And we rejoice because He has welcomed sinners like Levi. We rejoice because He came and sat around our table. We rejoice because He calls us by our name. But we also live in that tension of longing, waiting for the fullness of His kingdom. Friends, fasting is not about earning God's favor. It is not about spiritual performance. It is not about proving that we are serious Christians. Rather, fasting is about desire. It is about saying, Lord, I want you more than anything else. And in this sense, fasting becomes a mirror, because as a mirror, it shows us what controls us, what we really long for, and who we ultimately serve. Today may be your step a small one, like skipping a treat or turning off a screen or even sitting in silence instead of rushing on. Not to prove anything, but to practice longing. Because one day we are sure that the bridegroom will return in his fullness. And on that day there will be no more fasting, but only feasting. Until then, may we be a community, may we be a people who know how to celebrate his grace, who know how to hunger for his presence. So let me leave you with this. How hungry are you for the presence of Christ in your life? Let this question shape your discipleship more than any checklist ever could. Amen.